Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Trust in you because you are the God that's in control. You are the God that is over everything. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we started our series, My God Is. For the next couple of months, we were going to be talking about the attributes of God, learning who our God is. Because the more we know God, the closer we get to Him, the more our life will be in order. I found that when things start going south, all I have to do is look at my prayer life, look at my Bible reading, look at how much time I spend in intimate relationship with the Father. And when it starts going down, my life starts turning the wrong way. And so the more we know about God, the more we know Him and have that relationship with Him, then the better our life will be. And I want you to understand something, that at the end of this series, you will not know everything there is to know about God. Okay, do you understand that? One day, we will know everything there is to know about God. But that day won't come until we're no longer walking on these streets, but we start walking on the streets of gold in glory, and we see Him face to face, and we will know Him as we are known, and everything will be different. But until that time, we are on a lifelong journey of learning about God. The longer you spend learning about God, the more you realize how much you don't know about Him. So never quit learning. Never quit getting close to God. So today we're going to look at the first attribute about the sovereignty of God. And this comes from the root word to reign, which means to rule, and the prefix of sove, which means above. So that basically means because God is sovereign, He rules above everything. In other words, He's the big boss. Is that okay? To look at Him that way. God is the big boss, and we need to look at Him that way. R.C. Sproul says most Christians salute the sovereignty of God, but they believe in the sovereignty of man. Think about that. We salute the sovereignty of God, but we want to be in control. Arthur W. Pink, in his book on the attributes of God, says, "This attribute of His sovereignty characterizes the whole being of God." And every other attribute circles around this one, that God is the big boss and He is in control. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. God is the ruler of everything. He is the big boss. As sometimes we like to think we're the boss, but everything is according to what the Father wants. He is the big boss. You know, when you go for a job, when you're going for an interview, maybe you're going to go be a supervisor or a manager or something, they ask for this piece of paper that talks about your qualifications. Some places it's called a resume, some places it's called a CV or whatever. But I want to just give you today God's resume of why He can be the sovereign Lord, why He can be the big boss, why He is the ruler of everything. The first item on God's resume is He existed before anything else was here. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It's interesting. The book of Genesis starts off, in the beginning, what? What's the third word? God. Fourth word. Oh, fourth word, sorry. I'm not good at math either, no. In the beginning, what? God. It doesn't explain Him, doesn't give any reasoning for it. It just states a fact that God, in the beginning, God. He was there before anything ever existed. The second thing on His resume is He created all things. In that verse again, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Sorry, I'm not sure there was a big bang and everything just kind of happened. We can debate that later if you want, but I believe what the Word says, because I base my entire life on believing the Word. And in the beginning, God created. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus, the Word, the Creator. That's one of the reasons that He can be the big boss. That's one of the reasons He can be the ruler of everything, is He created it by His power. Colossians 1, 15 and 16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Because He existed before all things, because He created all things, He is in control of all things. He's in control of my life. That's the hard part for us to sometimes recognize. I'm not in control. Now, as a guy and an American, that's hard to say. Or maybe a guy and an Indian or a Filipino or a South African, or I guess just a guy in general. It's hard to say I'm not in control. Ladies, you probably sometimes have the same feelings that you're not in control, but God is. Another part of God's resume is not only was he in the beginning and he created all things, but he also sustains all things. Colossians 1:7, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And then Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But it's interesting here that he upholds all things by the power of his word. You know, we talk about God hung the stars in the heavens, and God holds the universe. Think about the size of your God. The Bible says that he can hold all of the oceans of the world in the palm of his hand. How many of you flew to Kuwait? Okay, most of you. Some people may have driven. Anybody swim? Okay, how many of you, when you flew, you crossed an ocean? Was it a quick trip? No, it's hours to fly across the ocean. And just think that our God can hold all of the oceans of the world in the palm of his hand. That's a pretty big hand. But we also have the promise that something else that is in the palm of God's hand is you and I. We are safe in the palm of his hand. God sustains us. God sustains this world by the power of his word. We serve a big God. Amen. Another thing is he is above all things. Nothing above God. Isaiah 46, 9-10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all things to my pleasure. God's is above all things. He knows all things. That's one of the attributes that we will talk about, that he is omniscient. He has all knowledge. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. That should get your attention, that verse right there. God has searched me, and he has known me, and he's still my God. God has searched me, and God has known me, and he still loves me. God has searched me and God has known me and he still calls me his kid. If you don't love God for anything else, you should love him for that statement alone, that he knows you, everything about you, and he still loves you. It says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. God knows everything. Let me give you a little insight. There is no such thing as secret sin. Okay, agree? No such thing as secret sin because God knows everything. The things I think I can hide from Him, He knows I'm going to do them before I even know I'm going to do them. He knows it all, from the beginning to the end. And because of that, don't try to fool Him. When you do something wrong, when you think something wrong, when you say something wrong, just say, Father, forgive me, because He knows it anyway. See, that's why Jesus in the Beatitudes took the law from actions to the attitudes of the heart. Because God knows when I think something I shouldn't, because He knows all things. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does. In heaven and in earth, in the sea and in the deep places. One of His points of His resume is He does whatever He pleases. I love the book of Job. When you read through and you hear all the arguments of the friends, and then you hear all of the things Job says, and then the last couple of chapters, God comes in and He says, okay, where were you when? Okay, you guys know so much. Where were you when I hung the stars in the sky? Okay, you know, where were you when God does what He pleases? So what you and I need to do is make sure we're in line with what God wants to do and go with God. You know, there's the old saying, if you're rubbing the fur on the cat the wrong way, just turn the cat around. If God is rubbing us the wrong way, we're wanting to go this way, and God's pushing that way, but because I just salute the sovereignty of God and believe in my own sovereignty, I keep bullying my way this way. Well, if you want to get in line with God and He's pushing the other way, it's much easier just to turn around, and the trip is a whole lot easier. Many times we as Christians try to be salmon Christians, swimming against God's stream because I want to do it. Who sang the song? My way. I want to do it my way. No, let's do it God's way. God orchestrated all things. Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have proposed, so it shall stand. God puts things in order, and they are going to happen. God rules over all things. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35 is quoted from one of the greatest kings at that time, King Nebuchadnezzar. It says, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honor Him who lives forever. For His dominion is everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, what have you done? He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He has the heart of the kings in his hand, and he rules over everything. So how is my life impacted because God is the boss? How does the sovereignty of God impact my life? Number one is it gives me courage to face every day. Matthew 10, 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. That should be comforting to us. I can get up and face the day because I know God took care to feed the birds. And if God took care of feeding the birds, God will take care of me in every situation that I find myself. Understanding that we serve a God who is sovereign, a God who is in control, a God who is in charge, it helps me to give thanks to Him in adversity. A couple of really hard scriptures here. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Because I know God is in control, because I know God has my best interest at heart, even when the fiery trial comes, I can rejoice. I can be full of joy in the midst of turmoil. I can be full of joy in the midst of everything falling apart. And that's one of the testimonies of a Christian, is how can you have joy at this time? It's because my joy rests in my relationship with God, not in my circumstance. And Peter not only says, don't think it uncommon, but he says, rejoice. Let me ask you, what kind of testimony would it give at work when you get that piece of paper that says you've been made redundant and your contract is over? If you just start jumping and shouting for joy, oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, they will probably start calling the mental hospital first. I don't know. But anyway, it is a testimony of a Christian's character that they can rejoice in times of trial. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This scripture tells us that in these times of trial and temptation that God is with us, and He will be with us, and He will help us to go through them, and we can rejoice with Him. Take heed lest you fall if you think you stand. Now, I know none of you have ever done this, so I'll talk about when I was growing up. I used to sometimes do some things that were, I thought I was invincible. My uncle had a horse and had a young colt, and my cousin convinced me that even though it had never even been halter broken, that I could ride it. And I believed her. Take heed if you think you can do something before you fall. Well, a few minutes later, after picking all the dirt out of my teeth and the grass out of my hair, I realized that that was a really dumb thing to do. But God takes care of us even when we do dumb stuff. And even when things go bad, we can rejoice. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I love it. When you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you can lay your head. In other words, you can rest in God's sovereignty. You can rest in knowing that God is in control. And then it humbles my planning. 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. I want to ask you something. I don't want an answer out loud. But how many of us spend time seeking God for his plan for our life before we just make our plans? I know in my life, when I spend time finding out what he wants for me and then doing it, things go a lot better than when I just make my plans and say, this is what I'm going to do. It humbles me in my planning. We need to listen to counsel. And then the last thing is it deepens my trust and my confidence in God. Psalm 33, verses 9 through 11. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing, and he makes the plans of people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart to all generations. This God who is sovereign, this God who is the ruler of everything, this God who is in control, this God who created the universe, who sustains every atom of the universe, who raises up nations and brings down nations, who remains unthwarted in accomplishing all of his purposes. This God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, loves me and loves you. And he wants us to seek him and to have a personal relationship with him. God is not some big bully in heaven with a stick just waiting for you to mess up so he can whack you upside the head. God is a God that loves you. But also he is a God that he loves us so much he's willing to discipline us when we do wrong. But we can be assured because God is a God that loves us. And because of his sovereignty, because he is in control, we can completely and utterly trust him with our lives. Do you trust him with your future? Most people say yes. Do you trust God with your future? Oh, yes. Well, do you trust him today? When you go to pay your school fees and there's no money for it, do you still trust him? You know, when you get that report from the doctor that you've been dreading, do you still trust him? We can, because he is in control. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for My God Is series. That week after week, we're going to learn to know you more. We're going to learn to trust you. We're going to learn to come into your presence, to build a strong relationship with you. And Father, we ask that you would continue to lead us and guide us. Father, as we look back over your resume of what makes you a sovereign God, what makes you the big boss, Father, every one of those things is a reason that we can put our trust and our hope in you. Because you are in control, you rule over everything, you are the creator, you are the sustainer. You have no beginning and you have no end. You are the great I Am. Father, help us to put our trust in you. In Jesus' name.